We are finishing up our sermon series today, Peace in the Valley, and today is the last of our sermon series, Peace in the Valley of Loneliness. And we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 16 today. I want to speak to us today about loneliness. Fill in the blank. I feel lonely because I feel lonely when, you see, often our feelings of loneliness is because we think sometimes that something is lacking in our life. You see, we live in a world that tells us that if we're lonely because something is missing in our life. And sometimes the world wants to tell us that either it's a location or it's a physical thing. Some people may feel lonely even when people surround them, because perhaps they may even feel like they're lacking a meaningful relationship. But Jesus prophesied to the disciples that they would desert him in fear. But their only solution would be to return to him. And so for us today, in a world that offers us tribulation, Jesus offers us peace. Because only Christ can conquer the falsehood of a lying world and deliver true peace if we accept his offer. So I invite you now to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version text this morning. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Sometimes loneliness comes to us even in times of despair. And this past week we have gotten reports from the World Health Organization and from the Centers of Disease Control here in the United States of this Zika virus. Is actually a virus that started and was identified in 1947 in parts of Africa and Asia, and now it's spreading throughout South America and Central America. And the world health experts tell us that by the end of this year, there could be 4 million people in the world that could be infected with this virus. Mother Teresa said, "The biggest disease is not leprosy or cancer. It's the feeling of being uncared for, unwanted, or being deserted and alone." Many of us feel loneliness in the form of depression. The United States Department of Health and Human Services, in a report between 2005 and 2006, reported that 1 in 20 Americans aged 12 and older had current depression. Persons 40 to 59 had higher rates of depression, and females experienced depression more than males. And in that same study in 1988, depression in the United States has risen 400 times. The Journal of Clinical Psychology reports that depression in America costs society in the United States alone $210 billion per year. Pretty encouraging, isn't it? You see, all these things can try to tell us we're alone. And the truth is that often it's the world that tells us these things. And if there's one thing we need to know about the world, is that we're told in the Bible not to listen to the world. 1 John 2:15 and 16, the text says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It is not from the Father, but it is from the world." You see, there's a falsehood in this world that says what you really need in your moment of despair and loneliness is fill in the blank. Turn on the TV. Turn on the internet. Look at the billboards. Look at other people in your lives. This is what you need that will actually fill that gap and fill that loneliness. All these things can try to tell us these things. But when the hour had come for Christ to go to the cross, his disciples left him. Peter said, "Lord, I'll never leave you." And he left him. Jesus told them about his hour. And now Jesus is telling them, the disciples, that their hour is coming. And so for many of us, we've experienced that hour also, not only in our lives, but in our faith. Their time has come upon them and it comes before us. You see, the disciples experienced something that many of us experience. When Christ was going to the cross and he was being persecuted, the disciples scattered. The disciples were confused. And what happened also is the disciples became isolated. And for us, when we're scattered, when we're confused, when we're isolated, oftentimes that is when we experience the loneliness in our lives. We scatter. Loneliness often happens, though, when we choose it. Sometimes it's not on purpose. We find ourselves leaving the peace that Jesus offers. When the situation in our lives become difficult, we find sometimes running from the love and peace that Christ offers all of us and the things that crush our peace. We find ourselves running somewhere and we don't even know where we're headed or how we got there. There's a true story about Albert Einstein, the great physicist, Albert Einstein, and he was on a train one time and he got his ticket, he got on the train, and the train left the station. And like all train trips, oftentimes the conductor or the person who takes the tickets was collecting tickets and going from different cab to cab on the train. And Einstein was looking for his ticket and he couldn't find his ticket. He was looking in his pockets. He was looking on the floor. He was looking on the chairs. He was looking all around. He was looking. By that time, his hair was sticking straight out like it always does. He couldn't find his ticket. And the conductor came to him and he said, "I need your ticket." And Einstein said, I don't know where it is." And then the conductor realized it was Albert Einstein, and he said, "Oh, don't worry, sir. We know who you are." And Einstein said, "Well, sir, I have to tell you, it doesn't matter because I don't know where I'm headed." It wasn't a problem that he didn't have a ticket. He was confused. He didn't even know where he was headed. And in times of loneliness, we feel that, where are we going in life? Where are we headed? We become scattered. We become confused. Loneliness comes when we're confused. Things don't always seem like they should be. It's the single mother that becomes involved in one bad relationship after another. She finds herself confused. She experiences loneliness. Her life doesn't make sense to her. She wants to know why God has not given her a good husband. She feels lonely. The problem is not what she seeks, but whom. Because the world tells her that if she can find a husband that will provide her with a certain level of security or they'll just treat her well, that she'll have peace, that she won't be lonely anymore. But peace is never about finding the right person. It's about being the right person. And that will only happen until you find it in Christ. And that's what Jesus wanted the disciples to know. Jesus said that in me you may have peace. We experience loneliness when we become isolated. The man who seeks to get away from it all and perhaps leave his family or his job, thinks that the only place that he can truly find peace is in a bottle or from isolation. The teenager, the student, the middle schooler, the high schooler, he feels that no one understands them because the pain they are experiencing from depression only wants to just curl up in the fetal position and be left alone, understands with the experience of loneliness. We often think of loneliness as a situation where it's a place. Let me tell you about a place where men experience loneliness. It's a place where you wouldn't think they would feel lonely at all. It'd be the last place you would be lonely. It's actually in prison. Many men often complain that the greatest thing that they experience, the greatest trials, the tribulation, is not the violence or the bad food or the conditions. It's loneliness. Sometimes surrounded by thousands of men, 24/7, 365 days a year, they experience loneliness because it's not a place. It's not a thing. Because they don't have the experience of peace from Christ. Loneliness is not the problem. We think that it is this situation, this current crisis in our life. And so we tend to look only at the loneliness in our lives. When loneliness is not the problem, it's the lack of peace. We need to know that the good news is that Jesus offers that peace for all of us. And he offered it to the disciples when he said that in me you may have peace. And so all of us are offered this peace as well. But may I ask you today, do you ask for it? Do you want it? Do you want that peace from loneliness? Do you want the peace? Whatever the tribulation, the depression, the loneliness you're experiencing, we have to understand that we actually have a guarantee. You know, if you go out and buy something these days, a lot of companies or services will offer you 100% satisfaction guaranteed. But they just continue to offer you the same thing over and over. We have a guarantee from the guarantor. And it is not a service or an object. It is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus says, in me you may have peace, take heart. He is saying, I am peace. And I can experience it if you desire it. There are many things he told them, the disciples, and there's many things that he tells us. And it's actually also the when. The loneliness that we experience from being scattered and confused and being isolated from a world that tells us what we really need is answered from Christ in the same way that he told the disciples. And so today I want us to see from God's word and from the gospel the same thing that he told the disciples. And it goes all the way back to John chapter 13. The first thing I want us to look at today, listen, we experience peace when we accept Christ's love. It is not that we cannot have it. It is oftentimes when we fail to accept it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, when Jesus comes to wash the disciples' feet, and he comes to Peter, and Peter says, No, not me, Lord, not me. Jesus says to him, look, if you will, with me to the text here in John chapter 13. came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Each of us need to experience the peace that Christ offers first in his love. I want to tell you a story about a man named Ben Hooper. There was a seminary professor who went to breakfast at a small cafe in Tennessee. And when he was there, there was a white-haired gentleman who was meeting people and greeting them and shaking hands and smiling. And the seminary professor turned to his wife and said, "Oh boy, I hope he doesn't come to our table." Well, sure enough, when you hope for things like that, what happens? Well, the gentleman came over and said, "Hi, how y'all doing? Where y'all from?" And the seminary professor said, "I'm from Oklahoma." And the white-haired gentleman said, "Great, what do you do?" He said, "Well, I'm a seminary professor." And the white-haired gentleman said, "Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach." And he said, "Well, I didn't think about it that way, but yeah, I guess I already do. So this white-haired gentleman said, "Well, I want to show you something. You see that mountain over there?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Well, over there on that mountain, long time ago, there was this little boy, and he was an orphan. And he went to a church over there near that mountain. And nobody knew his last name because nobody knew who his daddy was. But this little boy went to church every Sunday, and oftentimes he found himself ostracized and isolated from everyone. And everyone wanted to know who this boy's last name was. They wanted to know who his daddy was. And so one Sunday, the pastor gave of this church, there was a young pastor, he gave a benediction, and this little boy, this 7-year-old boy, he was used to running out the door so that no one could come to him and ask him that question that he was haunted by all the time, was, "Who's your daddy?" And so the benediction was long, and so before the boy could run out the church, the doorways were clogged with people. And so he couldn't run out of the church in time. And so as he was making his way out the door, he felt this hand on his shoulder. And he turned around slowly, and it was the pastor of that church. And the pastor asked that 7-year-old orphan boy who didn't know his daddy, he says, "Son, who's your daddy?" To which point you could have heard a pin drop, because everybody in that church wanted to know. They wanted to know whose father was. And it was deathly quiet. And so the pastor looked this 7-year-old boy up and down, gave him a look, and he said, "Oh, yes, I know who your father is now. You are a child of God. That's quite an inheritance you have there, young man." And he patted him on the shoulder, and he said, "Now go and see that you live up to it." And that 7-year-old boy learned that at that moment, how much God loves him. He realized the importance of that love. And that little boy grew up to be the governor of the state of Tennessee. You see, we need to accept God's love in times of loneliness. Little Ben Hooper grew up to be Governor Ben Hooper. All of us, and in our lives, need to know in our times of loneliness, we need to accept the love that Christ offers us. The second thing I want us to see this morning is we experience peace when we accept his promise of heaven. You know, the world tells you today, man, if you had this bigger house, maybe you wouldn't feel so left out. Maybe you wouldn't feel so different from everybody if you could keep up with the Joneses. You know, maybe if your house was just a little bit better or a little bit bigger or had a few more things in it. We experience peace when we accept his promise of heaven. John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. And where I am, you may also be." We don't have to worry about this house. We don't have to worry about what the world wants to tell us. God has already given us promises. And He says, I have prepared a house with many rooms. And the good news is, He's coming to get us. We need to experience and know that in our times of difficulty and loneliness, when we desire the peace in this present situation, the good news is, we've got a retirement community that no man can build, that no man can construct streets of gold. He has a place for us. We experience peace when we accept His promise of heaven. Do you desire that promise today? Do you desire the promise of heaven in your life, in your present circumstance, and knowing that God has a place for you in His promises? The third thing I want us to see today is that we experience peace when we accept the promise of His Holy Spirit. There was a man who went to a revival. This church was having a revival, and they had it for three nights in a row. And every night when the preacher gave an altar call, this same man came down night after night after night. And all he kept saying was, "Fill me, Lord! Fill me! Fill me with the Holy Spirit!" And by the time he got down to the third night, he came down to the altar and he said, "Lord, fill me!" To which he heard a voice in the back that said, "Don't do it, Lord, he leaks." We experience peace when we accept the promise of His Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus said, 16:8, "And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness, and judgment concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me." John 16, verse 12, Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." When we decide to come to His peace that He offers for all of us, it is when we accept His promises. Are you ready to accept His promises today? We experience peace when we accept that Jesus has a purpose for our life. The fourth thing I want us to see today, John 15, 16. These are all the things that Christ told His disciples. And so because these are the things that God speaks to all of us today. John 15, verse 16. Jesus said, "You did not choose Me," speaking to the disciples, "but I chose you, appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give it to you." Jesus gives each of us a purpose. He doesn't just call us unto salvation and just shine us up like the shiny new penny or the shiny trophy and want to put us up on the shelf. He has a purpose for you. What's His purpose? He wants you to go tell others about Him. He wants you to tell the others about the good news, the peace, the love, the joy that He offers all of us, and that He offers us a place. He calls each of us to be ministers. Every one of us. Doesn't have to come from one man sitting or standing in a pulpit or the Sunday school teacher. All of us are called to be ministers of His grace. The text there, Jesus also said earlier that He calls us friends. Did you know that? He calls us friends. We experience peace. The fifth thing I want us to see today, when we accept His promises of prayer. His promise of prayer. Look with me, if you will, in John 14, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. And John 16:24, Christ says, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be filled. May be full, excuse me. The loneliness that we often experience comes from just not accepting what Christ freely offers us. All we need to do is to take it. Do you desire today to take the peace that Christ offers you? Jesus said there in verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me, not the world, not the situations, that in me, and he says, you may have peace. Not you will have peace, that you may have peace. What does that mean? He offers all of us peace. And these experiences here and these promises from him. But may I ask you today, are you willing to accept it? Because that's what he tells us here in the text. He says that in me you may have peace. And in the world, here's his diagnosis. You will have tribulation. Not if, not maybe, you will have tribulation. And then he says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world all the way from the cross. And only Christ alone overcomes the world. And he offers that for all of us. He says, take heart. Take courage. Go ahead. Take it. He desires for all of us in our periods and times of loneliness to experience this peace that comes only from him, but only if we make the decision to accept it and take it. We experience peace when we claim victory over the sin and death from the world. And each of us needs to understand we need to quit looking at worthless things and look at him. When we came to faith in Christ, the reality is that we became a citizen of a faraway kingdom, not this world. So that the work that we do today is for the king is in fact a sort of like a, we're in an exile, if you will. This is not our home. Therefore, it doesn't make sense for us to feel lonely. It does make sense for us to feel lonely. C.S. Lewis said, the proof of heaven is your soul longs for a place it's never really even been. Christ offers us that peace. So the way to peace in Jesus is that beginning is found in salvation through Christ. Psalm 62:1, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. You know, sometimes in our periods of loneliness, we also may experience what we call a storm in our life. You see, sometimes God calms the storm. He does. And sometimes he doesn't. Why? Because he calms the person, not the storm. And that's the peace that Christ offers. That in me you may have peace. Each of us. Jesus is encouraging us not only to take what he is offering, but to know that he would not offer something if he didn't have a guarantee. We've been given that guarantee when he said, I have overcome the world. Jesus does not offer us false promises. He offers us the ultimate 100% satisfaction guaranteed. He offers himself. And he offers that peace for all of us through his promises of prayer and of heaven. A purpose for our life and his love all the way from the cross. You see, the disciples deserted Jesus. There probably could never have been a person, and in Christ's humanity, that could have ever experienced loneliness greater than him. It came all the way from the cross when he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And the Father hadn't forsaken him. And Christ defeated death. And the tomb is empty. Because Jesus said he was not alone. He was with the Father. And we're with Christ. That is the guarantee that he offers all of us. That in our periods of loneliness and depression and hurt and in situations that we don't understand, sometimes he just doesn't fix the situation. He brings peace to us. But he offers that to all of us if we make the decision to take it. Are you joining me in prayer?